Welcome to another episode of the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Before we go any further, we'd like to take you through some of the cool things we've been up to. We've got our book, A World of Difference, out on Amazon globally, along with this super cool podcast that is now trending amongst the top parenting podcasts on Apple.
Woot woot!
Yeah, and don't forget our blog. That's right, behaviorswag.com has cool updates, new articles, and a whole lot of science. We also have some exciting updates on our social media handles, so don't forget to take a look there.
Awesome! So moving on today's episode, we have with us Srikanth, a financial expert. Well, I call him the big bull, our guru for all things finance. So Srikanth is a social entrepreneur with a passion for education. And interestingly, he's also on our board of trustees, and we are beyond excited to have him here with us to discuss and guide parents of children with disabilities on financially securing the future.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest concerns, I think, right, of parents and families who have children with autism. What happens to the child or to the young adult after me? How is my child going to survive? How will he pay his bills? Where will he live? Where is the money going to come from? Who will manage it for him? And can he earn enough money? Can he manage the property that I leave him? Will he be okay without me? I mean, n number of questions, right? And very few answers. We often reflect on the dreams and visions we have for them as young children and teens, but it's equally important to start visualizing and planning for that future without you in it. So let's go ahead and say hello to our guest today. Hi, Srikanth.
Hello, Srikanth uncle.
Hi, guys. It's really awesome to be here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Yep, I'm really excited. It, it's taken quite a bit of time for you guys to call me.
Yikes.
This has been my dream to be a podcast.
We're flattered. All right. So, can we dive right in?
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. So, you know autism fairly well. You've been, you know, with us right from day one. It's been 20 years now. And you know personally the highs and lows of the disorder and what an affected family goes through. So, in your opinion, what are some of the things that a family needs to consider when they plan for the financial future for their child?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, you guys never, you know, I really amazed at the kind of work you guys do. And Geeta does share, you know, her small wins from time to time. And I know how difficult a task it is to do this for the children, and equally I imagine how difficult it must be for the parents to plan a whole lot of things around the child's future, including financial planning. And you know, for financial planning, what I would say is that it's no different from planning for anybody else. I mean, a neurotypical child's future involves planning for education, planning for, you know, the future. Typically, there are many kinds of plans which, you know, funds and, you know, financial companies offer. Here, it's just that the objectives are different, purposes are different. So, just the broad goal is the same. And therefore, I think what is really needed is to imagine the future for the child. Because that is something which most parents are caught up, I imagine, in their day-to-day, running of their lives and their children's
Absolutely.
Life, and they get caught in that.
Yeah.
And so there's no time for actually setting aside some time for doing some serious planning for the future, which
yeah.
is.
I guess, you know, very often it's about, okay, today is over.
Yeah.
What, and life goes on like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think as I was saying, it is just about imagining the future for your child, which basically consists of the ecosystem which he or she is going to be a part of. while they are with their parents and beyond, the parents' life, so to speak. So it's, in order to get the financial plan rolling first, this scenario has to be envisaged. I mean, yeah. I know it may not be all in black and white, but at least some sort of plan to do this is a first precondition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, having done that, what are the resources which it takes to set up such a structure? When I say structure, I don't mean a trust or an enabling body. That is the easier thing to do. But mm-hmm. just in terms of imagining everything from, how the money is going to be, invested and the corpus built and how it is going to be taken out and what sort of corpus is needed to implement the lifestyle or the future which is imagined by the parents for their child.
Right.
So these two are the steps. First is to imagine this and then put in place the financial plan which is required to carry out this.
Right.
I hope that made some sense.
So when you talk of a financial plan, is there something that is there some kind of structure that you would recommend on a common
Yeah, so I do have a couple of parents who are also clients of mine who I have conversations with about this, and I tell them is that it's not any different. You just invest in a way that you would do for yourself or your neurotypical child. Just that, a certain sum of money which is needed for their day-to-day expenses, whether it is therapy or, whatever that may be, which is, I'm sure, a substantial component of. So beyond that, I think it's very important to set aside an X amount of money which goes into a savings fund, which keeps growing.
Right.
And this savings fund does not have to have a tenure. The longer it is, obviously, it is better.
Right.
And the drawal or withdrawal from the savings fund kicks in on happening of a certain event. This
right.
event could be the child attaining a certain
age.
Yeah. And also a certain capacity to age and or a capacity to handle money on a day-to-day basis for his or her living.
Mm-hmm.
And B is, what was the first point was that?
So essentially, how do they plan it? I mean, you were saying about, some amount that goes into investments and some that goes into saving, which will kind of kick in and give the child a return as and when he needs it. Assuming a particular event happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of which is the age of the child, and probably the other thing being
the passing of the parents
the
parents, or the life
right.
after the
right,
parents.
Right.
It's an afterlife.
Right.
So basically, so that should be enabled through a mechanism of the trust. Or the body which handles this should operationalize this arrangement, which will come into existence
soon after the event
happens.
Right, right.
And at that stage, ideally, if the child is in a position to handle money personally, that will be a great bonus actually.
So when you say handle money, I mean, that's something I think you've said twice, right? So it's super important. But what way do you think the family can teach the child to sort of be aware? Or what is it that you mean when you say the child can handle money? Money's coming in, they've set up the fund. What do you mean, right?
Yeah, so I see you guys in this and we have these conversations all around the work you guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from my own experience, I see parents of adolescent children, once the early intervention is over, when they become teenagers and then that the age between, you know, their teens and their 20s is the crucial period where the parents often struggle with what, you know, to do with the child.
Yeah.
So I just had this, you know, a vision. It's not a wild vision, but yeah, it is it's certainly a vision which seems plausible. And this comes from, you know, I mean, my own, you know, tryst with education and handling children. I do teach financial literacy for a couple of 11-year-olds.
Oh, that's interesting.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So the way they learn and the way just the resources available to make them financially independent and aware of the concept of money and then how to handle it is way, way different from what it used to be, you know, traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So even, so it could be just having an idea of your own expenses, getting a regular sum of money and dividing that money into buckets, which is basically for your expenses and some for your savings.
Right. Okay.
And all this has to be a completely process driven. So minute you get an allowance or an income from this one, so you put away X percentage of that as savings, and balance is what is available for you as your expenses.
Right.
And within those expenditure, what choices can the child make?
Mm-hmm.
How can the intelligent choices be made for spending?
Mm-hmm.
How to distinguish between needs and wants? And these are all basically every step involves a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just resources, and we are surrounded by, you know, noise everywhere, and that every decision we have to make is a choice.
Yes.
So just teaching them that it's a choice they have to make within certain parameters is what I have done with this one, and it seems to work really well. So I was thinking if a child with autism,
mm-hmm.
who has the capacity to you know, understand that what his needs are in financial terms and how to actually get it. It could be just about, you know, getting his monthly needs in terms of food supplies, maybe, you know, what is needed. It could just start with that.
Mm.
And if one aspect of that is taken care of and he knows I'm going to get, say, 1,000 rupees a month and I buy these things from Amazon.
Mm.
If he's able to do that, I don't know. I mean, this, you guys have to
work on the
nitty-gritties and see if it's even possible. But I can visualize something like that.
Is a
nice goal to work on.
Yeah.
And slowly add other dimensions to it. It could just start with something like food and then it move on to other necessities. And over a period of 5 to 6 years, you can build, you know, good habits with money.
Money and spending.
So that they are not left out of the picture when when the time comes when they have to actually handle you know, money.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because I think as long as the parents are alive, and I think this is true of all of us, right? We always make sure that we do everything for the child, and more so when the child has autism or a problem like that, then the parents end up doing a lot of stuff, and before you know it, like, you realize, oh my god, this child really does not have the wherewithal to make some of these decisions. So that's something for us to think about, Swati.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the mistake we all tend to make, and in this the example with the neurotypical children, we all think they cannot understand the concept of money and it's way beyond them, or they won't be interested in it.
Yeah,
these are the assumptions which we make, which can be quite fallacious actually, because I found that they were able to learn about even investing and then stocks and then be excited about it. And then, you know, there are really if you actually channelize it in the right way, as they can they would be excited about, or they can see it. I think nothing is beyond comprehension.
I remember that bit about crypto coins, cryptocurrency that you were talking about. So I guess it's about, you know, starting by giving the child X amount of money. It could be simplest going into a shop and figuring out, okay, this is like a good point you made there was about wants and needs. And can the child make that distinction before he goes for that packet of chips or that pudding or whatever is that fun extra frill that he wants to, you know, add to his shopping list that day versus what, like a toothpaste that he really needs because he's run out of it, for example. Maybe somewhere that we can start.
Which you guys do a lot of, right? I mean, I think I hear stories of you, the children going to the shop.
Yes, yes. Yeah. By now, the shops around this area kind of know us very well.
Right.
And I think we spend equal time in weekend and in shops.
So, I mean, you said with neurotypical children, you're working with looking at financial literacy for children as young as 11 years old, right? And this is something, like you rightly said, it sometimes it seems too early for the parent, and more so when the child has autism. And I'm sure sometimes parents feel that, oh no, I should have started this like really, really long back. Because now my child is already 16 or 17 and I haven't really done a lot of things with him or saved up enough money for him. So what do you think is the ideal timeline or the age when the parents' focus should start shifting from intensive intervention to realistic planning and, you know, starting to set aside money for the future of the child?
That's a great question. I think... say the same time as the early intervention ends, which is what, how many years would you consider that?
I think, well, typically in the West it's at around 6,
but textbook, we would, textbook definition, right?
But yeah. I think we would peg it at, you know, around 8.
8, okay.
Right, because by then we know the child's trajectory more or less, and early intervention is weaning off, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
More realistically, I would put it as at 10.
Right? I knew that was coming.
Yeah, because from a couple of interactions with parents, and it seems like that is the age. It's a magical number. It's like the bat does 999.
Right.
That's a magical age when people begin to realize that, okay, maybe I really need to start looking at, you know, shifting focus, even in terms of education or what the child can learn and should be doing.
Right.
So, and you did mention, you know, teenage.
So, the point to note here is that the longer the runway, the better.
Yeah,
so, okay. You're not starting when the child is 18 or 20 and then struggling to kind of put a corpus together.
Yeah.
So, the earlier you start, the better. Mm. Okay, now, taking off from the fact that, okay, now there is early intervention and you spend a ton of your resources in that. There's probably no need to add to your financial burden with the, you know, planning. But once you start weaning off the early intervention, it's more necessary or more become more relevant to plan for this. So I would say 8-10 years is of this one, and that will give you a runway of at least 25 years.
To kind of
put together a corpus, whatever that may be for. I mean, along the way, a lot of things will evolve. I mean, today we don't have that many ecosystems. In 25 years, I'm sure you will have many more options to kind of secure the future. But what is necessary is you should have the resources to secure that future, which can enable you to follow whatever path that is appropriate at that point of time.
Right.
And some of this could be related to acquiring a real estate asset also, which could be a home or something which is a permanent dwelling for the child, as well as money for corpus, which is to manage expenses. It's quite relevant to plan for both. If you already have a dwelling unit, great. I mean, you could, that could the value of that could be substituted with anything else in the future. But if you don't have, it's important to plan for both, and I can't say both are equally important. It's not that one is less important than the other.
Right.
I think that was like really, really informative, and I believe and I really hope that families will benefit tremendously from this. It's also a first for us, Srikanth uncle, as we've always only spoken about all things autism and in the present. It's always been about, you need to give them early intervention, you need to do this, you need to do that. But this is the first time we are, exploring this whole new direction.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. Yeah, and it's like with all other things, we always, even as professionals, we don't talk about this. We don't see the other side. It's essentially the same, but with a little bit of interaction with, finance professionals, you could really do some serious planning, which can go a long way in making life that bit easier in the future.
So I think we will come back to you for further discussions,
lot more questions
and lot more questions. Now that you have been on our podcast, I think
this could become a regular feature.
I'm totally happy to take this idea further, and if you need to pick my brains, or if parents want to consult regarding financial planning also, that it's something we can totally do.
Wonderful.
That's very generous. Thank you for your time, and as always, thank you for listening in, and we love hearing from you. So if you have got a question, or you just want to say something to us,
we're all yours. Send us a shout out at wechallengeautism@gmail.com.
take care and stay safe.